أعوذ بالله من الشيطان اللعين الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونستهديه، ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا. من يهدي الله فلا مضل له، ومن يضلل فلا هادي له. ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، ونشهد أن محمدًا عبده ورسوله. سيد المرسلين وخاتم النبيين ورحمة للعالمين، وصلى الله على آله الطاهرين الذين أذهب الله عنهم الرجس وطهرهم تطهيرا. أوصيكم عباد الله ونفسي بتقوى الله. In today's khutbah, I'd like to talk about the social media and the fast means of communication. No doubt that all these new ways of communication has a positive side to it, but we also have to realize that there are also negative aspects related to it. And when it comes to the issue of negative aspects, you know, people get so much used to just looking at the short clips and, you know, brief reports about things. They don't want to then go into details. You know, this tradition of just seeing visual and just hearing, it is having a negative impact on the habit of reading. According to one of the statistics that I was looking at it this morning, you know, it already has an impact on, you know, 25% of the students in the school system. Because, you know, everybody just wants to go very fast, very brief, and especially when it comes to audiovisual, you know, means. And we do not deny that, the impact of it, the use of it, and the benefit, but not at the expense of, you know, eliminating this habit of reading. You will see that when it comes to the issue of learning, of course, they are all different means and tools. And we are not, you know, fixed with only one tool. With the development, you know, I'll just give you one example. You know, one of the biggest challenges for me when I came to Canada the first time in Vancouver was the issue that all these books that I have read, you know, I couldn't carry them, you know, to Canada. Because, you know, in India, we have our own personal library, which has the books of my grandfather, my father, and my books. So we had to actually make an arrangement for it separately. So I can't carry that whole, you know, the library with me. And that's where, you know, of course, then I started visiting the library at Simon Fraser University as well as University of British Columbia. But there was always this, you know, issue that I read this in that book, but it's not here. It's not even in the libraries. Many times when I would go back, you know, in vacations to India, one of the to-do list, I would have the references of the things I know where it is, and I would prepare that so that I can use it in my writing later on. But now, alhamdulillah, you know, in the 90s, the Hawza Almiya of Qom started digitally putting, you know, the reference sources that we have in digital form. And this was actually initiated by an organization under the patronage of the Grand Ayatollah Gulpaygani. And then it expanded. Now there are multiple institutions doing that. And a time has come where now don't worry about it anymore. Whether I have the book here or not, of course, you know, the Roberts Library at the U of T is a very, very, you know, rich source for even Shia books. There have been times when I would go there and take out a book. When I go to the counter, they said, nobody has taken this book out before. They had to put the new label on it. So, this is a very good resource. But now, you know, many times you see I have my laptop, even for my lectures. I have almost, you know, different softwares installed in it. Anything to do with tafsir, from day one to now. Anything to do with fiqh, from early days to the transcripts of the lectures of Ayatollah Khoi in 45 volumes. That's only one item there. You know, you look at history, you look at hadith, everything is there. So when I carry my laptop, actually I'm carrying my library with me. So we are not against new technology. The point is, you know, this habit of reading, whether you read it in a physical book or in its electronic form, you know, this is something which has to be inculcated among our children. And this is where, you know, the issue of learning comes in. And let me share with you some of the ahadith on this issue. Salawat. The Prophet, in one of the statements, he says, "Ughdu aliman aw muta'alliman." He says, be either a scholar or somebody who is a student, you know, in the path of, you know, learning. وَإِيَّاكُ أَن تَكُونَ لَاهِيًا مُتَلَزِّزًا. Do not be somebody who is just wasting time, you know, in things which are not meaningful. And mutalazzizan, just, you know, having enjoyment. Of course, we are not saying, you know, halal enjoyment is a problem, but the issue is that the focus should be, you know, the Prophet says, if you have to be from the three categories, either be alim or muta'allim. Somebody from the Ansar, actually, and this is a statement again from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He talks about an individual who will be included among Uttaqa. Uttaqa'ullah min al-nar means those who have been released from the fire of Jahannam by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Means, you know, they have been protected from the fire of Jahannam. Of course, this is a large group, but one that the Prophet emphasizes here, مَنْ أَحَبُّ أَنْ يَنْظُرَ إِلَىٰ أَتَقَاءِ اللَّهِ مِنَ النَّارِ فَلَيَنْظُرُ إِلَىٰ الْمُتَعَلِّمِينَ. If somebody wants to see those who have been released from the fire of Jahannam by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, these are the people who are in the path of seeking knowledge. Mutaallim yani students. فَوَالَّذِي نَفْسِي بِيَدِهِ. And then he says something which is, you know, just to emphasize the point. He says, if somebody, he says, by my soul and the Lord who has the control on it, if there is a student who is going to seek knowledge, إِلَىٰ بَابِ الْعَالِمِ, you know, to the door of the scholar, or the madrasa, or the school. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for every step that the student is taking to go and seek knowledge, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for every step that he takes, Allah will reward him for the worship of 1 year. Every step. Then he says, and he will, you know, build a house for him in Jannah. And every step that he is walking, the places that he is walking, the earth is going to do istighfar for him. And this is where the malaika will say, annahum utaqa'ullah min an-nar. That these are the people who have been released from the fire of Jahannam. You know, we are told, and rightfully so, that there is great merit in attending the janazah of a mu'min, as well as going and visiting a person who is sick, not feeling well. So keep that merit in your mind, the importance of, you know, attending the janazah of a mu'min or visiting a sick person. Then the Prophet says, and this is where somebody from the Ansar came to the Prophet and he says, Ya Rasulullah, إِذَا حَذَرْتُ جَنَازَ أَوْ حَذَرَ مَجْلِسَ عَالِمْ أَيُّهُمَا أَحَبُّ إِلَيْكَ أَنَا أَشْهُدُ. If I have an option of either going and attending the janazah or a circle of learning, which one is better in your views? And the Prophet says, if there are people who are taking care of the janazah, if there are people who are attending the janazah, they are going to go and bury the deceased. فَإِنَّ حُضُورُ مَجْلِسِ الْعَالِمِ أَفْضَلُ مِنْ حُضُورُ أَلْفَ جَنَازَةٍ. He says, then attending that circle of learning is better than attending 1,000 funerals. أو ومن عبادة ألف مريض. Now, this is just a comparative issue here because we always look for numbers. You know, Maulana, kitna sawab hai isme. We don't always get the numbers, but this is where, you know, janazah has its own merit. Attending the janazah in ayadat of marid, and this is where the Prophet puts it in a very strong way. Ama alimta anna Allah yuta'u bil ilm wa yu'bad bil ilm. Don't you know that Allah is obeyed on basis of knowledge, and He is worshipped on basis of knowledge? Wa khayru ad-dunya wal akhirah ma'al ilm. The best in this dunya and akhirah is best on ilm and knowledge. وَشَرُّ الدُّنْيَا وَالْآخِرَةِ مَعَ الْجَهْلِ. And the most, you know, negative point of this dunya and akhirah is based on ignorance. One more point I think is very important for us to keep in mind is that not everything that we see in the social media is always to be taken for granted that this is the truth. You know, we many times get forwards of statement, oh, Ayatollah Sistani said this, or this alim said that, especially the dreams of those who have passed away, which cannot be verified. You know, we have a problem with all these forwards that we get many, many times. And, you know, this is where we have to realize that not everything which comes through the social media is authentic. We have to verify it before we come to know that this is the authentic statement. Let me conclude this khutbah with one statement from Amir al-Mu'minin Ali ibn Abi Talib alayhi salatu wa salam. Again, about importance of learning the religious issues regarding our own, you know, our trade or business or employment. Many times we separate deen and dunya, and we say, okay, you know, this religious issues on one side, my business life is dunya. You know, this is where a person came to Amir al-Mu'minin and he said, Inni uridu at-tajara. I would like to, you know, go into business or a trade. And this is where Amir al-Mu'min asked him a question. أَفَهِمْتَ فِي دِينِ اللَّهِ. Do you know the rules in religion about what you want to do? And he says, well, you know, it will come. Once I am into it, I'll learn. And this is where Amir al-Mu'minin says, وَيْهَكْ الْفِقْ ثُمَّ الْمَطْجَرُ. First go and learn. You know, may Allah have mercy on you. You know, you go and learn and then go to your workplace. فَإِنَّ مَنْ بَاعَ وَاشْتَرَى وَلَمْ يَسْأَلُ عَنْ حَرَامُ وَلَا حَلَالُ. You know, a person who goes into transactions of deals with people buying and selling without understanding what is halal and what is haram, he might get into this problem of riba, It's just one example of, you know, the haram deals. And this is where Amir al-Mu'minin is emphasizing. The words are important there. Al-fiqh thumma al-matjar. Learn the religious laws about what you want to do before you, you know, get into the process of doing what you are doing. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq to understand the importance of knowledge and to use the right authentic ways of seeking that. In ahsan al-hadith kitab Allah al-aziz bismillah ar-rahman ar-rahim wal 'asr innal insana lafi khusr illa alladhina amanu wa 'amilu s-salihati wa tawassaw bil haqqi wa tawassaw bis sabr. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان اللعين الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله الذي لا إله إلا هو الحليم الكريم غافر الذنب وقابل التوبة وهو الغفور الرحيم ونشهد أن لا إله إلا هو العفوف للعباد بجوده والعواد على المذنبين بحلمه ونشهد أن محمدا نبيه وحبيبه سيد المرسلين وشفيع المذنبين ورحمة للعالمين صلى الله عليه وآله الداعين إلى سبيل الله بالحكمة والموعظة الحسنة قادة الأمم وأولياء النعمة ومعدن الرحمة أوصيكم عباد الله بتوبة ما سلف من ذنوبكم. This importance of, you know, this habit of reading. Although, as I said earlier, that we are not against the new technology which makes things much easier. But if I had to give a reference even of the item that I read on the electronic version of the book, I just want to make sure that those who input the data did it correctly. And this is where we go to the print version of the books, just to make sure everything has been put, you know, in the right way. Because sometimes those who put in the data would even make mistakes, especially if they are not experts in that field, you know. And this is where this issue of reading, again, I would like to emphasize that. And we go back to the seerah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. In the very first battle between the mushrikeen of Mecca and the Muslims of Medina, which took place in Badr, which is closer to Medina location-wise, far away from Mecca, that itself shows that it was not the Prophet who went out to attack Mecca, it was the other way around. They were defending themselves. And in that very first battle, the Muslims were able to capture 70 prisoners of war. And this was the first time happening. And so the issue was, how do we deal with them? One of the things which was very interesting is that, you know, this issue of ransom came up. Those prisoners of war who are from affluent families and tribes in Mecca, their families can come and kind of buy their freedom and take them away. But then the Prophet put a condition there. He says, those among the prisoners of war who know how to read and write, their freedom depends on them teaching 10 Muslim children how to read and write. This is 1400 years ago, promoting literacy in that way. And this is where we have to realize that, especially in an era when reading and writing was not that much common. Because historians actually can give you the list of the people in Mecca in the days of the Prophet who knew how to read and write. You wouldn't be able to get a list of people who read and write now. You know, it will be a minority who don't know. But there were so few that actually historians give you the list and the names of them. And in that environment, the Prophet is, you know, promoting this issue of literacy among the children. And the important point is that whom is he using? They are not Muslims. They are not muttaqi. They are not adil. They are enemies. You know, and this is where we have to realize that when it comes to the issue of seeking knowledge, you know, this is where the Prophet says, you know, خُذِ الْحِكْمَةِ وَلَوْ مِنْ فَمِ الْمُشْرِكِ. Go and seek wisdom even from the mouth of a mushrik, or those who are sinners. But there is a condition there. Huh? We should be able to, you know, separate what is hikmah and what is not hikmah, what is wisdom and what is not wisdom. And then you can guess. So if you know even a non-Muslim person who has an expertise in something, you know, using that expertise from a non-Muslim is not a problem. Because here Rasulullah is actually using the talent of non-Muslim enemies in order to promote literacy among the Muslim children. And this is a tradition which has continued even among the Imams of Ahlul Bayt. Unfortunately, after the Prophet, immediately after the Prophet's demise, there was actually a prohibition by the Khulafa, which continued till the days of Umar ibn Abdul Aziz, that you are not allowed to write down hadith. It's a wrong concept of saying, oh, we wanted to preserve the Quran or protect the Quran. Well, hadith is a separate issue. But the Imams emphasized, Amir al-Mu'mineen, you know, his companions would continue that tradition. One of this, his companion, actually, there's a story about him that he missed one of the sermons of Amir al-Mu'mineen. So he goes to his friends and he says, did you write it down? He said, yes, I've written down the whole thing. And then he made a copy for himself. So this tradition of even writing down the sayings and the khutbas of the Imam was there. You look at the example of the fourth Imam. On Friday evenings, he would have a weekly gathering with his followers, give a khutbah advising them, you know, encouraging them on the issues which are important for them and their deen and akhirah. And many of them would write it down. Abu Hamza Thumali is one of those who had missed one of those sessions. He made a copy from a friend of him who was there. And then he texts the copy that he made, to the Imam himself and said, can you look at it, whether this is what you had said? And so this tradition of preserving knowledge in the written form has been there, part of the teachings of the Ahlul Bayt, alayhimu salatu wasalam, salawat. Before we conclude, I just wanted to briefly make a comment about the terrorist attack on the shrine of Shah Chiragh in Shiraz. This is the shrine of Ahmed bin Musa al-Kazim, the son of Imam Musa al-Kazim alayhi salatu wasalam. So just as you have the haram in Qum of Hazrat Masuma, the daughter of the Imam, you have that shrine in Shiraz. And the way the attack took place basically shows this whole issue of ignorance about the whole concept of shrine and visiting the shrines. And this boils down to not only the issue of, you know, ignorance, but also wrong propaganda about what the Shias or the Sufis do. Because they equate this issue of visiting the shrines with the issue of worshipping. You know, we also do the ziyarat of Baytullah. You know, we go and visit that. You know, Muslims go around it. We face it all every day for our salat. If we don't do it towards Kaaba, our salat becomes batil. We don't worship that house. And this is where the misinformation is, you know, circulated again. When it comes to the issue of social media, it has become a big fitna against the Shias on this issue. You know, many times we are told, oh, these people are turbat parast. Turbat, this is, you know, the mohr that we have. And they say, oh, they worship this stone. Shaheed Baqir al-Sadr was asked this question by Dr. Samawi Tijani when he visited Najaf first time. He had the audience with Ayatollah Khuwaid and Shaheed Baqir al-Sadr at the time. And one of the questions he asked, it means that even he in his mind thought that this is an issue I need to clarify, get a clarification from Shia Alim. So he says, what about this, you know, turbat? You put your forehead on it. And Shaheed Baqir al-Sadr, may Allah elevate his status even more, he actually gave a very powerful one, you know, short line answer there. He says, Nasjudu ala turba, la nasjudu lit turba. He says, we do sajda on the turba, not to the turbat. We put our forehead on it, but we are not worshiping it. We are worshiping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that simple matter, you know, and sometimes I use this, you know, a rhetorical way of responding. If somebody, I said to the youth who sometimes are faced with these questions by the Wahhabis, even here, but if they say that you worship the turba, you just say, well, then, you know, you are the worshippers of the carpet. Because by the same token, you are putting your forehead on the carpet. So you are, you know, carpet parast. If we are turbat parast in that way. Which is just total ignorance here. But this is how things are being fed to them. And unfortunately, social media is becoming a very, you know, powerful way of you know, pulling people who are ignorant on this issue towards the wrong ideologies. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq to understand the wisdom of what is right and what is wrong, and to use the tools that we have in the right way, which will be pleasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, inshallah. Allahumma salli ala sayyidul mursaleen wa shafi'il mudhunabin nabiyyina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. وعلى إمام المتقين وأمير المؤمنين علي بن أبي طالب صلوات الله عليه وعلى سيدة نساء العالمين سيدتنا فاطمة بنت رسول الله صلوات الله عليها وعلى سيد الشباب أهل الجنة الحسن المجتبى والحسين الشهيد بكربلاء عليهم الصلاة والسلام اللهم صل على أئمة المسلمين علي بن الحسين ومحمد بن علي وجعفر بن محمد وموسى بن جعفر وعلي بن موسى ومحمد بن علي وعلي بن محمد والحسن بن علي عليهم الصلاة والسلام اللهم صل على مولانا الحجة بن الحسن صاحب العصر والزمان ما حيا صار البدبة طغيان هادمة أبنية الشرك والنفاق حاسد فر البغض والشقاق صلوات الله وسلامه عليه وعلى آبائه الكرام ما اتصلت الليالي والأيام اللهم عجل فرج وسحل مخرج واكحل ناظرنا بنظرة منا إليه واجعلنا من المستشهدين بين يديه اللهم اجعلنا ممن يذكر فتنفعه الذكرى إن الله يعمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون